Okay. So we have a Parshas Vayishlach. In the middle of the Parsha, we have this, I don't know if you should call it a wrestling match, but a fight between Yaakov Avinu and the Malach. And Yaakov Avinu overcomes this Malach, the Sar Shel Esav, and the Malach wants to leave. And Yaakov Avinu basically says, I'm not letting you go until you give me a bracha. And the pasuk says that the Malach here, he gives him his professional name now. That's as a form of expressing this bracha to Yaakov Avinu. So the Malach says to Yaakov that I'm gonna give you an additional name. As opposed to by Avram Avinu, where his name was changed from Avram to Avraham. But here it's more of like an additional name. We don't stop calling him Yaakov, but he has an additional name of Yisrael. Why is he given the name of Yisrael, this additional name? So the Malach explains. Kisarisa im Elokim, probably with a hey, demanoshim atuchal, that because you succeeded, you prevailed over the divine and over man, that's why I'm calling you Yisrael, Sarisa. You've overcome, you've prevailed over these forces, the divine forces and men. Therefore, I'm calling you Yisrael. Who are these forces that Yaakov Avinu prevailed over? So the spiritual forces are the Malach. He won out against this Malach, and that's why, you know, that's the spiritual front. Who are Anashim? Who are the Anashim? Who are the men that Yaakov Avinu beat out against, that he won against? So Rashi says, "V'im Anashim, Esav v'Lavan," that he prevailed over Esav and Lavan. He succeeded in the nisayon of Lavan and the nisayon of Esav, and those were the men that he defeated. So he succeeded on all fronts. He beat the Malach. He beat Esav and Lavan, and that's why he's given the name Yisrael. Okay. The problem is that when did this episode take place? So this episode took place while Yaakov Avinu was on the way to confronting Esav. He's leaving Lavan. He just left Lavan's house. He's going to Esav. And on the way, in the middle of the night, he has this fight. So how could the Malach say that Yaakov Avinu beat Esav? Right? What did Rashi say? So Rashi says, you defeated, aside from defeating the divinity, you also defeated men. Who were the men that he defeated? Esav and Lavan. Well, we understand why he beat Lavan, because he finished Lavan. He left Lavan's house. But he didn't yet fight Esav. He didn't confront Esav yet. Esav is about to happen. We're about to have a whole episode following. So how could Rashi say that he defeated Esav when he didn't defeat Esav yet? That's the kasha on Rashi. So I'm going to present to you a story to answer this question. The story has to do with the Brisker Rav in World War II. At the beginning of World War II, the Brisker Rav was separated from his family. He had health issues, like breathing issues, and he had to periodically go to like these resort towns because the air was better for him. And when World War II broke out, it was around Elul time, and that's the time of year that he was still in this resort town. And he was stuck in Warsaw, or something like that, with his oldest son, Yosef Dov. So at this time, there was a tremendous nace to having for all of Klal Yisrael. I'm just giving the background for the story. This is not the setup point, but just the background. There's a tremendous nace that happened to Klal Yisrael, if you happen to know the history of World War II. The Germans and the Russians originally were collaborating with each other at the very beginning. And they were conquering Europe together. They made some kind of deal that they're going to split Europe, Poland, etc. And at that time, at the very beginning of the war, there's some kind of nace that happened that the Russians decided to let Lithuania have Vilna. Vilna was the capital of Lithuania. And for some reason, the Russians decided to let the Lithuanians have control of Vilna, which meant that Vilna was now not under control of the Germans or under control of the Russians, but was independent. So this basically, if you follow any like stories about World War, like the Bnei Yeshiva that survived World War II, they basically all begin with them going to Vilna. Because Reb Chaim Ozer Gajenski, he was the Gadol Dor at that time, and he lived in Vilna, and he sent word to all the Bnei Yeshiva everywhere, come to Vilna immediately. I believe he said travel on Shabbos, come immediately. And all the Bnei Yeshiva all over the world, all over Europe, went to Vilna to because of this nes that happened. And the Mir Yeshiva, everything you hear about Bnei Yeshiva that survived, usually the story begins with them going to Vilna at the beginning of the war. So the Brisker Rav and his Mishpacha, went with his son to Vilna, and he sent word to his family also to come to Vilna. So that's the background of the story, that the Brisker Rav, how he ended up in Vilna at the beginning of the war. Now, when he was there, with some of his Mishpacha went and some didn't stay behind. So his older kids went to Vilna and they survived, and his wife and the younger kids stayed behind, but they did not survive the war. So in Vilna, the Brisker Rav was with his older children, and eventually the Russians decided to renege, and they took back Vilna from Lithuania. And that's the setting for the following story. So the Brisker Rav's now in Vilna with his older kids, and the Russians take over. And when the Russians came into town, so they decided that they needed a housing for all their officers and all the government officials. So they sent agents around the whole town looking for, you know, appropriate, suitable living quarters for their officials. And they basically, when they found a nice house, they told the owner that you may be evicted. When the soldiers come, we're going to tell them about your house, and if they want it, they can come, and you're going to have 48 hours to leave. That was it. Now, at that time, so as the officials and the agents were taking stock of which houses were nice houses, so eventually they saw the house of the Brisker Rav. As you can probably imagine, so I guess the communities there, whatever's going on there, they decided to give the Brisker Rav a nice house, however they set him up. And so it was a very appropriate house for a government official. And so one day, his mishpacha, they get a knock on the door from the Russian soldiers that, we like your house, we're giving you a warning that when the soldiers come, if they like your house, they're going to take it, you have 48 hours to leave. At that time, so the Brisker Rav's family, they started to pack, and they were panicking, they were anxious. I mean, you have to understand, this is the middle of World War II here, it's very scary times, and now they're getting evicted from their house. Like, where are they going to go? And they were very down. And the Brisker Rav saw this, and that was his sons and his daughters, his mishpacha. They were the ones that were having this, this feeling of being downtrodden. When the Brisker Rav saw this, he was very displeased. And he told them the following. He said to them, he asked them the kasha from our parsha. He told them, he asked them the kasha that we asked on our parsha with Yaakov Avinu and the Malach. The Yaakov Avinu defeats the Malach, and the Malach tells him that he succeeded against Esav and Lavan. And the Brisker Rav asked his children, he said to them, how could the Malach say that he defeated Esav when he didn't yet confront Esav? So what's going on? So the Brisker Rav answered the question as follows. He told them as follows, that when Yaakov Avinu was fighting the Malach, so the Malach was the Sar Shel Esav, and he represented the spiritual forces behind Esav. Now, I don't know if we really understand what was taking place, but the Brisker Rav explained that there was a spiritual Muhammad that was taking place at that time, that on some spiritual plane, they were going at it in whatever sense that is. So the Brisker Rav said that once Yaakov Avinu won on the spiritual front, once he defeated the Malach on the spiritual front, the physical front was going to follow as a byproduct. Everything that happens here on earth is already decreed up above in Shemayim. It's all just, we're puppets. The real Mohamma is up in Shemayim. Once in Shemayim, Yaakov Avinu won in the spiritual front, the physical is just going to follow. So it's appropriate for the Malach to say that you beat Esav, because once you beat the Sarshal Esav, Esav's going to follow. The Rav said that the same is down, in this situation, our The milchama is not with these soldiers. We don't have to worry about what they have to say, what they're claiming. The milchama is up in Shemayim. We have to realize that the real avoda of Yid is to daven and to say Tehillim and to focus his efforts on Shemayim. The physical is going to follow the spiritual. Who cares what they're telling us down here? We have to focus on redoubling our efforts up above. And the ending of the story is that 2 days passed and 3 days passed and a few weeks passed and no one came to his house. And on the day that they were leaving, he got special tickets to Eretz Yisrael for his mishpacha. On the day that they left and walked out of the house, and they literally left the house with all their belongings packed, exactly at that time, the soldiers came to evict the house. That's what happened. Let me check the time. Fine. I'll share with you another story about the Brisk Rav in World War II. So when he was going from Warsaw to Vilna, before this whole episode took place, so he was with his oldest son, Rav Yosef Dov, and you know we have the Germans are taking over Europe here. It's a very frightening situation. The Polish army had like horses. It was like a joke. You have like horses going up against tanks, and the Germans are like conquering Europe, and they're bombing everywhere. And the Biskrov, so he goes into a wagon with a bunch of people, and they're heading towards Vilna for dear life. And it was a frightening situation, war breaking out everywhere. And at a certain point in that journey, it was a few day trip on the wagon. So the Briskarov says to the people with him in the wagon that it's time to daven mincha. Can we stop the wagon? I can't daven with the moving wagon. I can't concentrate. So they're like, this is a kind of stuff show here. I mean, there's a war breaking out. We're running for our dear lives. We can't stop this wagon. The Briskarov said that I have no time on you. If you want to continue on without me, I'll try to catch up. But I'm stepping out. I'm davening mincha. So they couldn't really say no. So they decided to wait for him. He davened mincha. They continued. When they got to the next city, so as soon as they got to the city, they realized that the Germans had just come to the town and just took over the town and took all the Jews. They gathered them all up. And by some nace, so as soon as they entered the town, and it was swarming with Germans. So some Goyish lady calls out to them, like, run for your lives, because the Germans are here. And they quickly scattered and they got out of there. And they realized that the Briskarov's mincha saved their lives. Because had they gotten there a little bit earlier, while all the Jews were still there, they wouldn't have realized what was going on. The Germans entered the town, they would have been done. But the Briskarov's mincha saved them. So they said to the Briskarov, you have Ruach HaKodesh? How did you know? So he said to them, that I don't have Ruach HaKodesh. What I did was purely logical. That we're in the middle of a war. There's nowhere safe to go anyways. Where we were coming from wasn't safe. Where we're going isn't safe. The whole place is in mayhem. So there's no reason not to daven mincha. Of course I agree that there's hishtadlis. But when there's no hishtadlis, there's no point of... You know, there's no more hishtadlis to do. There's no sekhas nefoshes to run. Where are we running to? The whole place is in mayhem. The whole world is on fire. So if the whole world's on fire, so then there's no reason not to daven mincha like a mensch. So daven mincha like a mensch? That's the Maisa with the Brisk Rav. I'll tell you over one more piece. They're all random Marmakomas, but they all happen to be Brisker Marmakomas. I don't know why. they're not connected. I did not see them all in one spot. They just happen to be coming together. But I'll tell you a piece from the Brisker Rav also, which just connects to this. There's one last Nakuda. I feel bad about Korbanot, though. So, yes. there's a pasuk in Tehillim. We say, the pasuk says, Kaveh el Hashem, Chazak v'yam tzibachah v'kaveh el Hashem. Hope to Hashem. Strengthen your heart and hope to Hashem. So the question is, what's this double lashon of Kaveh el Hashem? Right? Kaveh el Hashem, hope to Hashem, strengthen your heart and hope to Hashem. So the Brisk Rav explains with the mashal. He says that there were once two brothers, and one of them was extremely wealthy. He was fabulously rich, and the other brother was extremely destitute, very poor. But the rich brother had a beautiful heart, and he gave his brother his poor brother everything that he needed. He gave him full support for everything. Food, clothing, you know, a nice residence. Ad kidei kach, to the point that they literally lived the exact same lifestyle. They lived exactly the same, because the rich brother, he gave him everything, everything. They lived the same. And one day, the rich brother says to his poor brother, he says, you know, I've given you everything. We live exactly the same life. You have everything that you could possibly need. But there's one thing that you're lacking. The one thing you're lacking is that you have to rely on me. You have to rely on me giving you money. So I'm going to give you a tremendous sum of money to even give you that. I'm going to give you a tremendous amount of money so you can support yourself. You no longer have to rely on me. That's the mashal. So Biskarov said that the nimshal is as follows. That Chazal tell us that if a person has real, genuine bitachon, so he could reach madregas where he could see how Hashem is giving him everything that he needs. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate meitiv, and Hashem really gives us everything that we need. And a real Baal bitachon who has genuine bitachon can tap into an unbelievable storehouse of appreciation of what we have, what Hashem is giving us. And when a person has bitachon, he has everything. He really has everything that he could possibly need because he realizes that Hashem's taking care of him and giving him everything. So when a person has bitachon, Hashem wants to give him more, though. Hashem is the ultimate meitiv. Hashem wants to give him more. Hashem wants to support him even more. This guy has bitachon. He has everything. He's like that brother. He has everything. But Hashem, who is the ultimate meitiv, wants to give him some more. So how does Hashem give him more? Says the Bris Grov, he can't do what the brother did. Because the brother gave him, you know, $100,000, and here you're good to go. But on this earth, there's no such thing as giving someone $100,000 and you're good to go. Because everything is, it's all fleeting. Hashem, what's Hashem going to do? He's going to write us out $1 billion, and now you're good to go. Now you're good to go. But what do you mean, when someone steals it? What if there are health issues? There's so many issues that arise. It's not possible for Hashem to do that. So Hashem can't do what the big brother does. So what does Hashem do? The only thing Hashem can do to a person who has real bitachon is to give him more bitachon. The reward for bitachon is to have more bitachon, because there's nothing better than bitachon. Everything is fleeting. What's Hashem going to give you? Money? But the money can be taken away. Health? The health can be taken away. There's nothing to give a person with bitachon except for more bitachon. So that's the pasuk. Kaveh el Hashem. If you develop bitachon and hope in Hashem, the result will be kavi al Hashem. The response is more bitachon. That's the schar of bitachon. Because there's nothing that can physically be given to a person with bitachon that will be a real reward except for more bitachon. Shkaya chaver.
Yeah. Thank you, Rabbi.